We get things underway this afternoon by welcoming in Michael Hurley of WBZ CBS Boston. Hello, Michael.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for giving up vacation time to be with us. So what did we tear you away from on your vacation?
Well, today we went down to the seaport in Boston. It's like 40 degrees, so it feels like the middle of summer. It's a little rainy, and we just walked in a circle for about a half an hour. That was the big excursion today. It was very exciting. Actually, there was little curling rinks that we tried out, and I don't think my girls are future Olympic curlers based on their confusion as to the point of the sport. So that was today's excursion.
Well, that's pretty exciting right there. Well, we have awful weather up here. We got, I don't know, 2 or 3 inches of snow, and then it's been several hours of just sleet and freezing rain. So can't even get out of the house to attempt any kind of a curling bonspiel.
That's when you become, you know, the little drawing on every ladder where the guy's just falling off.
Yeah.
That's what you are when it's those conditions. You can't be that guy.
It's nice, too. My wife and I went out and thought, well, maybe I can snowblow this, but the snowblower jammed up because it was just too heavy and compacted. So we shoveled, and every shovel full of this stuff weighs roughly 300 pounds. From my estimation, and no sooner did we finish and get back in the house than the plow went by and dumped another 3 or 4 inches of it at the end of the driveway. So I'm pretty much, I think I'll leave it there till spring.
Getting the full experience.
Yeah, yeah, it's my school vacation week, so enjoying every bit of it here. But let's not talk just about me. Let's talk about you and the world out there. And let's start with the most pressing issue in the sports world, and that is the anger that resulted from Tom Brady tossing that Lombardi trophy from one boat to another.
Just, you know, disgusting footage. It's sad that we all had to see it. Honestly, that's the woman who was, you know, that made that a whole thing. I mean, that is just a gold mine in terms of whatever news station interviewed her. They must have just been looking at each other in their little production rooms, just like, this is exactly what we needed. So, yeah, I mean, it's good to know that. I mean, because it kind of quieted down the fact that Tom Brady makes people lose their minds since he left New England and lost a lot of that, you know, Patriot hatred toward him. So it's good to know it's still alive and well in some people.
Yeah, even if they're those kind of people. As for the Patriots themselves, apparently they need a quarterback now and a lot of different directions. Do you believe they end up with a veteran quarterback? Could Cam Newton come back? What do you think might happen?
I've applied a lot of thought to this because it's obviously the number one question whenever you talk to anyone, and I can't find an answer that's good. It's really starting to sink in, not that it didn't before, that maybe, you know, keeping Tom Brady and building an offense around him would have been a wiser decision, because every option you cook up right now kind of stinks, whether it's Cam coming back, whether it's getting someone like Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, like, a best-case scenario is you somehow spring Dak Prescott free, or if somehow, you know, San Francisco finds someone better than Garoppolo and you end up with him and having to pay him $8 billion to be Jimmy Garoppolo, there's really no great situation. I feel like, as bad as last year was, it seems like they might try to go a similar direction with a veteran that's available for, you know, not too much money, which seems like a very unexciting way to head into another season.
And that's not the only issue they've got. What's the next, would you say, most crucial need for the team?
I mean, it's been 3 years or 2 years without a tight end. And it's a team that relied so heavily on the tight end for so long. And, you know, it goes back to the beginning before 2018 when Belichick tried to trade Rob Gronkowski. And then, you know, Gronkowski said, I will just retire before I go to Detroit. You know, the push to move on from him was strong. And yet there's been no effort to replace him. You've had your Matt Lacosses and your Dalton Keene and Devin Asiasi, and they got a 40-year-old Ben Watson out of retirement 2 years ago. It's just been an empty spot in the roster for 2 years. And so I don't know that you spend the 15th pick on a tight end. I don't think that's going to happen. They're going to need a couple of things to break their way. Maybe some teams out there, because the salary cap is shrinking, is based on the lack of revenue, are going to have to make some tough decisions, and maybe a good veteran becomes available. But to me, they've had no tight end for 2 years, and it's really killed them.
Yeah, Tom Brady originally talked about playing till 45. Now he's thinking maybe go on beyond that point. And I guess I would say, based on what I saw this year, why not? There weren't many signs of slippage, and Tampa Bay clearly willing to do what they need to do to surround him with talent.
And you know what the craziest thing is the other day I was working, and in the background I like to put, you know, a football game on. So I put on Super Bowl 49 against the Seahawks. This is in February of 2015, and I'm watching. I'm like, this quarterback, this Tom Brady at whatever age that was, not as good as the guy I watched this past year, which is unbelievable because, you know, that's generally, you know, by this point the quarterback would be a pile of soup or, you know, whatever Peyton Manning turned into in his final year. So it is incredible the improvements. And even in the lead up to the Super Bowl, I was on all of Brady's press conferences, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to work on, you know, getting faster and increasing my speed this offseason. I was like, he hadn't even played in the Super Bowl yet. And that was, you know, the easiest Super Bowl of his life, too. So it's kind of annoying because it's kind of like, I don't know, year 25 might be a little repetitive, but for his standpoint, I wouldn't stop. So, yeah, I mean, he's going to go until it doesn't work anymore.
We're talking with Michael Hurley here on Downtown. Few people I dislike in the game of football more than Urban Meyer. So how glad I am to see that, I don't know, this is going to be a Nick Saban-esque turn, I think, as an NFL coach.
Yeah, I don't know what he was thinking hiring the Iowa strength coach there, a guy who lost his job recently. You know, it's not like it was 5 years ago and he's done anything to indicate that he's, you know, a changed person who's worked on himself. It just seemed like Urban Meyer being like, oh, that guy, yeah, he's mine now. So it seemed completely unnecessary, and the fact that it blew up in his face within a day to when you had a Friday night, 11:15 p.m. resignation, which to me is always a sign that you've got nothing to hide, is when you announce your resignation at 11:15 on Friday night. So, yeah, it seems bad. I feel bad for Trevor Lawrence if that's the way that the situation is going to go. But, you know, generally, unfortunately, if you're good enough to be the number one draft pick, you're more often than not going to a situation like that. So, good luck to all of good luck to Trevor Lawrence and anyone else in the Jaguars. You know, you want to talk about 4 or 5 years ago, 2017, they were the best team in the conference. All they had to do was hold on to a lead in Foxborough, and they obviously crumbled because Doug Marrone was not a very good coach, and they fell apart. And it's really, I mean, you talk about diving off a cliff since then. What a sad story. But that's the Jacksonville Jaguars for you.
And I look forward to, I don't know, about 18 months down the road when Meyer announces that he's quitting to spend more time with his family.
Oh, yeah. I mean, every so often the family comes calling, you know. And I think 18 months, that sounds, you know, maybe a little bit more than that. But maybe in the middle of the season, if they start 0-2, maybe in year 2. I don't know. It's hard to guess exactly.
This Bruins team, Michael, is it possible that they're better than we thought they'd be?
Well, what I've come around on them is, because I was thinking there'd be a step back where they lose Chara and replace him with guys like Zboril and Lauzon that aren't experienced guys that were going to get beat. And, you know, Zboril hasn't been very good. And I thought the power play was going to take a huge step back without Krug, who was instrumental in that. And yet the power play is still, you know, functioning better than 30%. The defense has been better than I expected. And what I've come around on is maybe, you know, given this weird season where you play the same teams 8 times, travel's limited, you're in the same cities, maybe it's just going to be the teams with veteran leaderships that can just sort of grind through, that have been through grinds together, are going to win the most games. Because I don't think the Bruins are the best team in their division, yet there they are at the top, because I think it's just their ability to win 3-2, to win 2-1. I mean, they're not winning, you know, 6-0 every night. Every game is a grind, and I think that suits them and their personality and their leaders and their coach. So it's I don't see that changing. I mean, they are where they are. Their personality is their personality. So they should be able to ride that. And then, you know, once they get in the playoffs, and, you know, the format being what it is, all bets are off. I don't know how that's going to play out. You know, teams that end up seeing each other for the first time all year, it's going to be wild. So any predictions to that point, I don't think are wise. But for the regular season, I think they should remain, you know, at either first or second place in their division.
And the Red Sox first workout for pitchers and catchers coming up in a couple of days. Benintendi is gone, and there was some hand-wringing about that. But I don't know. They got some value from him. Am I crazy to think this team may not be good, but might also be better than expected?
Well, they're, in my mind, battling back from complete irrelevance. Last year, the season happened, technically, but I don't know a soul that, you know, took it all in. You know, for myself, I watched the least amount of baseball I ever have in my life. It wasn't a conscious decision. It just sort of happened that way. So they have a long way to go. I've never, you know, I've streaked for 10 years. I've lived here my whole life. I've never seen the city and just the media market and everyone care less about the Red Sox than they did last season. So I guess the bar is pretty low to clear. I don't think, like you said, I don't think they'll be good. I don't think their pitching staff is good enough for them to be good, but, you know, they should score some runs. I don't know how that translates the larger part of the season, but the good thing is we don't have to wait until 7:30 for their home games to start anymore. One of the biggest swings and misses ever, and they just refused to correct it last year for absolutely no reason. So at least they're moving back to 7:10, which is, you know, 20 minutes. You know, we need that. So, you know, it's a small victory, and maybe that helps people actually care about them.
Well, and if you recognize the starting pitcher every third or fourth day, that would be a nice improvement.
Yeah, if you can go into a four-game series with the Yankees where the starting pitchers aren't TBD, 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 and TBD, you're off to a better start than you were last year, no doubt about it.
Michael Hurley, CBS Boston, WBZ. Michael, appreciate it as always. Good talking with you. Thanks for being with us, and enjoy the rest of your vacation.
Always a pleasure. I hope your vacation improves as well. I hope at least it's, you know, fluffy, not the heavy stuff.
Well, and not to get too personal, but I have a colonoscopy tomorrow to look forward to, so it's already getting better.
There you go. I mean, it can't be worse than shoveling water.
It's just 6 of 1, half a dozen. Oh, there'll be some shoveling. Yeah. No, I'm not going to go there. Thank you, Mike. We'll catch you soon. Michael Hurley, WB, here on Downtown.